Florida Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
All aboard, we're heading to the communication station. Are your attempts to communicate with others getting derailed? We're going to help you get things back on track. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Communication Station. Are your attempts to communicate with the people in your life getting derailed? We want to help you get things back on track. Tell us, are you struggling to communicate effectively with somebody in your life? Maybe your attempts to discuss a concern or resolve a disagreement keep breaking down. Maybe differences in opinion keep derailing your efforts to communicate with someone you care about. Whatever the challenge is, we want to help you get your conversations back on track. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
I think so many people are saying, oh, they're talking about communication. They're going to be saying, you know, I have to do this or that. But they don't understand it's this person. Every time I try to talk about money, the kids, intimacy, faith, whatever it is, politics, religion, that person stonewalls me. That person gets vindictive or grumpy or defensive. And I, no matter what I do, I can't get through to that person.
Well, and if you feel that way, you're not alone. You know, one of the reasons we're doing this show today, if any of you happen to watch any of the deliberations at the USCCB's virtual meeting, you would see that even bishops struggle to communicate effectively with one another. And we thought, well, this
because
might be
they're persons too.
This might be a good opportunity to step back and talk about effective communication with people you don't see eye to eye with. So, if conversations are breaking down between you and someone you care about around issues that are important to you, we want to help you break through those barriers, stop those conversations from getting derailed, and get those discussions back on track. 877-573-7825.
And you know, the problem for us as Catholics is that this is our call to communicate effectively and well with people. That's evangelization.
Wait, what?
We have to be able to communicate the gospel, the love of God, and that goes so far beyond chapter and verse, the catechism, even just talking about Jesus. It's about really communicating with someone so we can touch their hearts, transform their minds. And we don't just do that when we talk about our faith or religion. We do that in the way we communicate everything to someone else and what their perception of that is. So we can't get out of this. Wouldn't we love to just get out of this? A lot of us felt like maybe we're going to get out of it during lockdown this year. You know, leave me alone in my little space and I don't have to talk to anybody and I'll be perfectly happy because I can't stand all of you giving me a hard time. But we can't do that. We would love to sometimes, but our calling is to have those conversations, and whether they're conversations about faith or they're conversations about, you know, the rules in your house to your kids, or they're conversations about finances with your spouse, or they're conversations about how you're raising your kids with your parents or what their next steps are, we're called and forced to, because we live on this planet, to deal with communication issues pretty much every single day, whether we like it or not.
Well, I mean, yeah, and I think that it's almost impossible to list all the topics people could disagree about, because
it could be any topic.
I mean, it could really literally be anything. These days there are more things than ever to disagree about, and families are being torn apart because of those kinds of disagreements. Parents and children are encountering those those cutoffs struggles in communication because of those issues. You know, whatever those topics are, whether they're more personal or current events wise, that are getting between you and someone you care about, we want to talk about how to communicate effectively, because communication, as Lisa, you were just pointing out, it involves a whole lot more than just saying words at people. You know, and I think that we do all tend to fall into that trap. I want to say my piece. Mm-hmm. And I want to get my position out there. And we think that we're communicating when we're really talking past each other. The more important part of communication is learning how to listen. Listen actively and attentively and respond directly to what we've heard. What we have a tendency to do is engage in what are called collective monologues, where you have two people saying things at each other, but neither really listening.
Well, and aren't we trained to do that in school? You know, it starts with a 5-paragraph essay sometimes around third grade, where you come up with your thesis statement, you prove your points, and you hand it in, and the teacher tells you you've done a good job because you've supported that, but you don't ever get a chance to see if you've made a difference in anybody's life. Maybe in high school, you went on to debate club, and it was more about fighting and arguing your point than really communicating or changing hearts or being in relationship with. Being people, especially Catholic persons, requires us to have a different level of commitment to being communicative with others, because God's asking us to.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think, you know, every day on this program, we try to draw insights from St. John Paul's Theology of the Body to help us with the topic of the day. And I think that the Theology of the Body has a lot to say about this idea of communication.
Well, especially on this, because it really reminds us that the primary work of building the kingdom of God involves creating strong, intimate bonds with people in our lives.
I want to hit that again, you know, because when we think about building the kingdom of God, we really tend to think about doing big things for Jesus building hospitals, building schools, building churches, and it certainly does involve that. But why do we do those things? Because those are important parts of building healthier relationships,
mm-hmm.
and
creating
communities,
those bonds.
And
right.
So at the base of it, building the kingdom of God means strengthening relationships with the people in our lives.
Yeah, we really have to create a genuine, loving communication between us and others in cultivating an understanding. Although most of us really do, as you were saying, Greg, give very short shrift in real life, effective communication is much more about effective listening than it is about talking. And just hearing that from me, I know, is frustrating a lot of people, because they feel like they're beating their heads against the wall.
Well, it's hard, and we feel like if we do too much listening, then we're never going to get to say what we need to say.
Or that we somehow, by listening so much, validate that other person in their knuckleheadedness.
But neither of those things is really true. And even though really listening to another person is hard, it's key to actually being able to love them. You know, because if loving somebody means working for their good, then we need to take the time to really listen to each other so that we know what all of us need to grow and flourish. Cultivating that spirit of understanding and actively listening to each other isn't just good for our relationships. It's a spiritual exercise that allows us to truly love each other as we love ourselves. So that's what we're talking about today on our show titled Communication Station, as we look at all the things that cause conversations between us and our loved ones to become derailed. We want to help you figure out how to get those discussions back on track and be effective
even in the face of some pushback, resistance, conflict, whatever other things are getting in the way of those attempts on your part to communicate effectively. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. Are you struggling to communicate with someone in your life? Are your attempts to discuss a concern or resolve a disagreement breaking down? Are differences in opinion derailing your efforts to communicate with someone you care about? Let us help you get those discussions back on track. Again, the number, 877-573-7825.
So whether there are people in your lives where you're feeling like you roll your eyes every time you have to deal with them because that topic is going to come up again, or they're going to be stubborn in this way, or you find yourself using that very old phrase with your kids, if I told you once, I've told you 1,000 times, and nothing changes, whether you may even feel that way about an adult in your life. If you're getting frustrated with your inability to make the changes in your relationships that you want to make, we're here to help you do it today. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
Father
and the Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, you are the Word. And you have the words of everlasting life. You ask us, as part of our mission of building your kingdom, to create communion with all the people that you've placed in our lives. And of course, creating communion means learning to communicate and listen to one another and respond to each other's needs. It's really hard to do that, Lord. To truly listen to another person and sometimes to feel listened to by others. And so we bring to you all the ways that our conversations with others have become derailed, all the ways that our efforts to build communion through communication have broken down. And we ask you to give us the patience, the wisdom, the perseverance, and all the other virtues that we need to truly listen to one another and learn to respond in love to the things we hear, so that in all of our conversations, we are able, through your grace, to build that true communion that your servant Pope St. John Paul the Great reminded us is our mission, our primary mission as Christians. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on Mortal Life, our show is titled Communication Station. Are your attempts to communicate with others being derailed? Well, we want to help you get things back on track. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. By the way, talking about communication, later on today, I will be communicating again with you. I'll be guest hosting for Al Cresta, who is on vacation this week. We're going to have a lot of good stuff to talk about on the program. We're going to spend the first hour talking about, well, different aspects of what it means to be pastoral, especially in light of all the debate going on and the bishop's discussion today. The second hour, we're going to be talking with Ed Condon of the Pillar. He's going to be giving us a Catholic News Roundup from the USCCB meeting. Plus, at the end of the show, we'll be talking more about Father's Day coming up this weekend with a book titled A Man Called Joseph. So check out that coming up later today. But right now, we are taking your calls about communication breakdowns at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Cecilia, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Hey, Cecilia. Welcome to More to Life.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
Well, we're from a large family, and we have a sister that has been on Valium and a lot of other drugs for years. And our big concern is through research, because we were concerned about her. She's always angry and screaming a lot and angry about things, everything. And so we did some research and found out that, you know, Valium will give you uncontrollable bouts of anger if you take it for long periods. So each one of us have tried asking her, you know, do you know the effects or, you know, the side effects of your medications? And she would just blurt, screaming bouts of anger and say, you know, who made you a doctor? Who gave you a PhD? And we just tell her, you know, we're concerned because she's always angry and we're just not sure how to deal with her because we love her very much and now she's estranged to us. You know, she doesn't even want to talk to us because we've made her angry.
Does she come around for family gatherings at all, or what kind of contact do you have with her?
She will not. We'll invite her. Like, I'll invite her to come, and she won't. She says it's better off I just stay away from everyone. So it's been now a couple of years, but we're very concerned with her. And she even moved and didn't tell anyone. And I was upset because, you know, she and I were like the closest in the big family. We're the youngest girls. And anyway, it's just...
So I guess the question, you know, you can only be effective with her to the degree that you have any kind of communication or relationship at all. So what, I mean, is there any kind of contact at this point at all?
I try to text, you know, little things, how are you doing, or send her little things, and she'll either ignore it or, like, I make little paintings, and I sent a beautiful mm-hmm. Blessed Mother, and all she could do is complain that it didn't have a face. I mean, the painting's only like 1.5 inches high, and there was no room to put a face on it.
I understand. So she doesn't really. I mean, you reach out to her, but she doesn't reach back in any meaningful way.
Exactly.
In fact, she just
kind
of bats you all the way.
We all try to reach out to her, but rarely will she even respond. Now, if it's something about prayer, you know, please pray, then she'll say praying or something like that.
But other than so here's the thing. When you're dealing with somebody who has an addiction, and it sounds like, you know, based on some of the other things you also told the screener, that she maybe has a polysubstance addiction, which means, you know, that she might be addicted to drugs and alcohol, as, you know, and several different things. Is that for the addict, the addiction is not really a problem. It's their answer. You know, addictions are problems for everybody else except the addict, because, you know, they cause the addict to act in ways that hurt other people. But the addict becomes an addict because they don't know how to do certain things, you know, process their feelings, deal with their stress or problems, and a host of other issues. And so they turn to drugs and alcohol and other behaviors for the answer. So as far as they're concerned, the addiction is not a problem. And anybody who tries to make it a problem is a threat to them because they feel like you're telling me that my answer is bad. Right? I don't know how to do this other thing, and the drug lets me off the hook for doing that, and you're telling me that that's bad. And so I'm going to lash out and attack you because, you know, I found my answer. Why won't you just accept that? So addictions are problems for everybody else except the addict, which is why we have that kind of truism that the addict has to, in some ways, hit bottom before they're willing to seek help. You know, in a situation where you still have contact with her, like if your whole family was still in regular contact with her in some way that not just that you were reaching out to her, but that she was reaching back in some way, that she valued your relationships or was, you know, it was important to you to keep, important to her to keep those relationships up, you could do what's called an intervention where you could maybe work with somebody in a local drug and alcohol treatment center to set up an intervention where all the people who love her, even, you know, even those people who employ her and whatever, could get together and, you know, confront her and surprise her with that confrontation and kind of walk through why she needs to get help, how her addiction is impacting all these different areas of her life.
The kind of support she has from those people who have taken the time to go in and actually do the confrontation with her so that she can see that she has something besides the drugs and alcohol in her life to support her as well.
And also that she'd lose those things if she didn't
exactly.
get help. So that would be the most common way to intervene in a situation like your sister's. The problem with that, of course, is that she has now pushed you all away. So the only thing you really can do at this point is to continue to pray for her and to continue to reach out to her as you are, letting her know that you're there for her if she ever does want to work with you, and gather information on what treatment options are available should she become amenable to it.
But at this point, because she's alienated all of you and is estranged from all of you, and is resisting any efforts to build relationship with you and consistently choosing the drugs and alcohol over you, there's really nothing you can do. And until she has suffered enough for this addiction to want to seek help. And at that point, you would be ready with whatever resources are available in your community to kind of hook her up with that. So staying in touch with her at this point, it's going to be painful to watch her decompensate. But that's really all you can do until she's ready to receive that help. So I would spend this time looking into good facilities in your area that would be a good fit for her when and if she is ready to seek that help. I'd continue reaching out to her so that you could, you know, see what's going on. But at this point, there's not a lot you can do directly, unfortunately, because she's found her answer, and it's her addiction. And until her addiction, she realizes it is not the answer, is actually ruining her life, she's not going to be ready to let it go. I'm sorry, Cecilia. I wish I had better news for you. But thank you for the call. We will certainly add your sister to our More to Life prayer list. And if there's more we can do to support you in this process, don't hesitate to reach out to us again. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. We're talking about communication today and all the different ways it can break down. If you and someone you care about are having a hard time really talking and understanding each other, responding well to each other, if those conversations are breaking down into conflict, disagreements, tension, and you're not sure how to break through, we're here to help. That number, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life will be back with more of your questions, comments, and insights about communication when we come back after the break.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Now, on the Ave Maria Radio app, the prayer section, where you can listen to the Holy Rosary. All four mysteries are voiced by Christ as the Answer and Father Knows Best host, Father John Ricardo. Are you struggling to remember specific prayers for pre- and post-confession, reciting the Stations of the Cross, or prayers during Eucharistic Adoration? It's all there, word for word, and within a few clicks under the prayer section on the Ave Maria Radio app. Download it on your smart device today.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, we're talking about communication on our show titled Communication Station. If your attempts to communicate with the people you care about are getting derailed for some reason, we want to help you get things back on track. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Jeremy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan.
Hi, Jeremy. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Just
good,
fine.
Thanks. What's up?
Excellent. Thank you. I have a couple good friends of mine who I love very much, and the conversation never gets derailed, and there's never any hardship at the end of the conversation. But they come to me in counsel looking for advice regarding their anxiety or their depression or their, you know, 10 moments of deep anxiety. And for me, I don't know how to explain that to him because this is something that I've never, ever felt before.
And you're not a professional counselor either, right? So they're kind of putting you in a position where you're not competent to help them the way they're asking you to help them.
There's something about the fact that you haven't struggled, that you have a peace, that you have a faith that's speaking to them. They want some of that, but you're also not in a place to be able to convey that in a way that will cut through with what they're struggling with.
So let me offer two suggestions for ways to you know, kind of help them out. I mean, so, you know, you don't have to be a professional to be compassionate and even to offer some basic help. But let's talk about what you're able to do and what you can't and how to know the difference. So where I'd start is when somebody comes to you and they're, you know, talking about their anxiety or their depression or other strong, you know, issues, the first thing you want to do is empathize and say, you know, I'm really sorry that you're going through that. That's so painful. And it really hurts my heart to see you struggling that way. So you empathize with them, but then you don't give any advice. You don't tell them what to do, because 99% of the time when we tell the people what to do, it's not going to work because that's not coming out of their experience. So they're not able to use it, right? It makes us feel good to give other people advice, but it tends not to do a whole lot of good for them. So you empathize with them, and then the next thing you say is, so tell me, what do you think you'd like to do about that? How would you like to handle that? You know, what resources do you have to deal with that? Have you ever been through something like that before? How could you use the lessons you learned from those experiences to help you now? So you ask questions, right, that prompt them to start thinking about what they can do, what resources they have, what times they've been through things like this before and how they've handled it and how they might be able to adapt those responses to this new situation. And you see what they do. You know, about 50% of the time, 60% of the time, they're going to be able to come up with something that's helpful just from you asking those questions. The other percentage of the time, they're not going to know what to do at all, at which point you say, you know what, then it sounds like this is something you need to take to a counselor. I'd be happy to, you know, try to find somebody for you to talk to about this, but this is something that's beyond my ability. And then you just really stick to that whenever they try to push it, because you're not competent to go past that point. Empathize, ask questions, and refer. We'll be back with more calls after these messages.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I want to welcome you, if you're not familiar, with the wonderful world of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What will America become if it makes it impossible for the Holy Spirit to work here because of untruth and self-indulgence and paganism? This is not just a nice discussion of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to discuss what happens when people make it impossible to be prudent, just, or honest, or brave, or courageous, or reverent. When people make that impossible, what a terrible thing they do not only to themselves, but to our society.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Jesus calls his followers disciples. That's the word that we use in English. But really, in the Greek New Testament, it's the word for student. Now, you might say the school of Jesus Christ is more of a trade school or technical school than it is a liberal arts college, because in the school of Jesus Christ, you learn how to live like the master lives. But it is a school. The teacher isn't just passing along information. The teacher is passing along knowledge of the ultimate purposes of God. The master is passing along the knowledge of life and the will of God concerning man. The school of Jesus Christ is a real thing, and if we are disciples of his, we've entered into that school, and by paying attention to his teaching, we will conform our lives to his.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta, 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. One of the biggest challenges facing newly married couples is when you have your first or your next baby. Here are 3 steps to help you work out this question together. Step 1, ask yourself, what does God want? God has a plan for your family, and the closer you follow God's will, the happier you'll be. Pray about it as a couple, consistently and openly.
Step two, practice what the church calls responsible parenthood. Openness to life doesn't mean just openness to conception. It also means meeting the true needs of the children you have. Ask God if you have the emotional, relational, and temporal resources to raise another child happily in His love. And step three, always stay open to what God wants to give. Even if you've discerned that this isn't the time for a baby, avoid the attitude of, we're done. Fertility is a gift. Don't block God's gifts with artificial means. For more guidance on Catholic family planning, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back. We're so glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking about communication today on More to Life. If you are struggling in your efforts to communicate with someone you care about, and those conversations are breaking down for some reason, getting derailed as you try to resolve those differences, we want to help you break through those barriers and get those conversations back on track. 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Jenny, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Missouri.
Hi, Jenny. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. I was calling because I was wanting to ask you about your thoughts about a situation with my father-in-law. My question is almost sort of the opposite of what most people are asking, because I'm trying to sort of figure out how to change my attitude towards my father-in-law in such a way that I wish that I wanted to talk to him, because the relationship is so broken down there, and I just don't.
So what's going on? I mean, how is it? What's the issue? What's breaking down?
Well, I don't like that he is always trying to tell us how to live our lives and how to raise our children. And it, in his personality, is sort of, he always wants you to think like him in every manner. And he's really proud of how he raised his children, and they did a nice job. My husband is a product of that, and I respect and appreciate him, and he and, you know, my mother-in-law for that. But I don't like being told what to do in the first place, much less just sort of constantly. And so it just has put such a strain on the relationship there that I don't even want to interact with them. I don't enjoy seeing them. And as a result, we see them less often, but I want to see them more, just so that I just don't want my husband to feel bad about, you know, not seeing.
Does your husband feel bad?
Yeah, he does.
And how does, so tell me about what your husband's role in all of this is. I mean, does he see the problem with the father-in-law here, or what's going on?
He sees the problem. I mean, his dad just frankly doesn't know any better than to do that. But mm-hmm. He, even though we've told him, we don't really want your advice, we don't like it, we're really happy with our children. They have, you know, a lot of good qualities, and we like the decisions we're making, basically. Mm-hmm. But his dad truly doesn't, I don't know, I would say he doesn't have the emotional intelligence to stop doing what he's doing. And then my husband, what is his role? My husband is used to his dad. So
right.
He's not affected by it. He just says, yeah, dad tells me what he thinks we should do, and I just ignore it, basically. I mean, I'm not.
And Jen, let me ask you, that's exactly where I was going with this. So your husband has just made his own way and can love his father and say, okay, dad, thanks for the input, and then do what he wants to do. What's preventing you from being able to do that? Does your father-in-law take care of your children frequently? Does he have a huge influence on your children? Or is it just that it gets on your nerves because you're feeling like he's telling you you're doing it wrong? Why can't you do what your husband's doing?
That's the last part. Because when someone gives you unsolicited advice, it's pretty much a thinly veiled attempt at them telling you they don't like what you're doing. And I don't.
Yeah, but so what?
I hear what you're saying, and most of us really want that approval, especially when it comes to our motherhood, right? Because this is our thing. These are our kids, and we need to know we're doing it well. And I totally feel where your heart is here. But then you have to remember, these are your kids. This is your place, your heart, and you are doing it well. You can see that in all the things you love about your children. So that builds a wall between you and your father-in-law that doesn't have to be one of animosity. It has one. It's one that protects your territory, your heart, and your ability to make those choices as the fact that God put you and your husband as these children's parents. But you don't have to convince father-in-law of
yeah,
that.
So, yeah, because you're kind of adopting you take this, you know, in the spirit that I mean it. You're adopting a kind of a childish position here. You're falling into a place of I'm a child and I have to get my parent to, you know, and I know he's not your parent, but still.
Parent-in-law, you know, that person in that position.
This person in authority to agree with me in order for my opinions to be valid. Now, that's a childish way to look at things. You're a grown-up and you need to remind yourself of that. Now, here, I would be giving you different advice. If you said, when we go over there, you know, we tell our kids to do X, and he says, no, kid, you don't have to do that. Do this instead. Or if you, whenever we go over there, you know, he actively undermines our faith or our rules or our,
or puts your children down or puts them in harm's way. Something like that. Totally different advice.
Yeah, we'd be giving you a completely different advice. But what you're saying is that he's not directly involved in the care of your kids. He's not directly undermining you with the kids. He's just giving his opinion on things and telling you that he doesn't like what you're doing. That's annoying, but it doesn't have to have any impact. And I think your husband's answer is the right answer. You say, thank you very much. I appreciate your opinion. And then you ignore him and do what you need to do.
Now, I want to go back to the fact that Greg is saying here that you're sort of dealing with this in a child position. That's normal. Jenny, there's nothing that we're saying, oh, you know, you're being too childish. No, we're saying that's normal. When we start raising children, until really we get a sense of ourselves and our success in it, it's very easy to want to say, I really know that I don't know what I'm doing. I'm doing this the best way that I can day by day, and I'm praying for a good outcome. And that puts something in the center of us saying, so somebody who's been doing this and done it fairly well needs to come and validate me. I want you to take this to God instead. God's the parent you need validation from. And if you have been seeking God's way, Lord, you gave me this child, these children as individual, unrepeatable people, each one of them. You're going to lead me and guide me through this. Make your guidance and your approval of what I'm doing the only thing that really matters. Defend me from the other voices in the world or my need for validation. Help me come to you for the validation I need, because these are your children and you've put them in my care. That's going to really free you up to stop worrying about what anybody else thinks, whether it's your father-in-law or the other mom on the playground or whatever that is. You're going to by being able to take this to God the Father and saying, these are your children. This is my heart and soul, and I want to give this to you again. Please validate me and guide me each step of the way. Your father-in-law's opinions and no one else's opinions will really affect you as much anymore. They'll really be able to be secondary, and you'll be able to do what your husband's doing, which is not let it affect you and your motherhood and your sense of rightness.
So look, you know, your father-in-law is narcissistic and he's boorish and rude. And that then, and you know, I'm not debating that. And those kinds of people are obnoxious. But where you're falling down is you feel like you have to argue this with him because of your own insecurities.
Even if it's just in your own head.
So because of that, the answer here is not to focus on your father-in-law. It's to focus on how you need to get past your own insecurities here, so that are sucking you into the drama with him and causing you to argue with him where you don't have to. You know, if your husband has developed, you know, if your husband has developed a way to ignore him, and your father-in-law doesn't even care enough to notice that he's being ignored, that's the way to go here. You know, you need to remind yourself that you are the grown-up here, that you are the mom. It is your call, and nobody else has a right to, you know, question that. They have a right to express their opinion, but you don't have to listen to it, and you certainly don't have to argue with it, all right? That's what's sucking you in. The problem here is not your father-in-law, although he is narcissistic and boorish. The problem is really you needing to face those insecurities and walk yourself through that, reminding yourself that you're the grown-up here. And you don't have to justify yourself. As long as you have made these decisions in prayer with your husband, you're good to go. Thanks for the call. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. 573-7825. We're talking about communication breakdowns. How can you get those conversations back on track when you and someone you love are not seeing eye to eye, or those discussions are getting derailed? Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Nancy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Buffalo.
Hi, Nancy. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, Lisa and Dr. Craig. How are you? I love your show.
Thank you so much. What can we do for you today?
Yeah, I have my husband. We have an issue with communicating. When we have, you know, like issue or something to sort out, so we sit down and, you know, he agree. Just, you know, he's going to follow through, but maybe take 2 days or a week. And after that, we come back to where we started. And I kind of don't know what to do. I feel like I'm stuck.
Now, Nancy, let me ask you a question. When you have these conversations with him, and I'm glad you are able to communicate on it, do you come up with an actual plan for how it's going to be done and by when? Or is that part left off the conversation and you just agree something should be done? And he says, yeah, I'll get to that. Is it more firm than that?
It is. I'll give you an example. We have a 14-year-old son. Unfortunately, especially with COVID, he has been kind of falling, you know, kind of not following through with his homework, missing assignment and things like that. And because we work different schedule, I work nights, and when I'm on my days off, I will, you know, check the homework and I will make sure he's on the board, he got all situated, and then when I work nights, I would tell my husband, this is what needs to be done, and, you know, I won't be, as you said, be at work, and I said, I need you to make sure that he finishes homework, he hand them in, and unfortunately, it will be like after 2 days, after I work, you know, I work 12-hour shift night, and I come, you know, maybe he follow through a week. After I went through the homework and then make sure that he's not missing anything, and then I fall back to the same thing. I found there is one homework or two missing, and then
what's he doing instead? Like what? Why doesn't he follow through?
I think he's, you know, it's not. I think I know he goes a lot on the news and, you know, kind of news bench.
So he just checks out.
Exactly. And then I guess my son, the kids, you know, they know better. They know he's not very, you know, rigorous in checking, make sure things are done. And then it's kind of, you know, he give them time to do what they want to do. And
so, you know, when you push this with him, does he get defensive? Does he get upset, or does he just agree with you and then just does what he wants to do?
There are some days I may say he become a little, you know, defensive, like, you know, I do my best. Do you think I don't do what I'm supposed to do? I said, then I don't think so, because we agreed to do this and this. And then on the top of that, I said, if it happened that you didn't have enough time, I need you to tell me, this is where this is what I was able to do. Our son is having not done such and such. And kind of that communication is broken when I come.
Yeah.
You know, usually he's gone to work because he worked days. And
I understand.
Kind of going back to the same thing, trying to check. And then it's kind of tiring. So
of course it is. Well, look, so Maria, here's the thing. You know, with what you're describing, you're describing a man who, you know, who doesn't really want to follow through. You know, he's telling you what you want to hear at the time, so that you'll get off his back. But then he's not doing the thing, and it's not just that he's not listening to you. He's not really stepping up and being a father. He's kind of checking out and doing his own thing. My sense is that this is not going to change unless you get some professional help for your relationship, because your husband this falls into the category of refusing to accept influence. Now, that's a kind of technical thing. What it means is that in a happy marriage, husbands and wives accept influence from each other. They go to each other and they say, "Hey, I need this from you." And the other one says, "Well, all right, fine, we'll do that." And then they do it, you know, because they respect each other enough to want to follow through with the things that are important to their spouse. In relationships that are not as healthy, you have at least one spouse, unfortunately it's usually the man, who is unwilling to accept influence, who just wants to do their thing, and have their wife, you know, take care of the rest of it. And that's what you got here. When you have that dynamic, it's very difficult for the wife, in this case, you know, to make the change, because the husband doesn't respect you enough to actually listen to you in the first place, right? So you need a third party to get in there and say, "Yeah, you know what? You're being a jerk, husband. You know, this is not the way good husbands act.
This is not the way good fathers behave in a way that allows their children to succeed and feel supported."
So, I'm afraid this is going to be one of those times where you're going to need to seek some professional help to address this. Now, you might say, "Well, we have very different schedules. We're not going to be able to make that happen." You know, even if you were to seek individual marriage therapy, it would start to get the ball rolling, even because of the expense of it. Right? Because he's going to be upset that you're going to counseling and you're spending this money on this. You know, you're getting resources for learning how to set more effective boundaries with your husband, which he's not going to like either. And when he objects to all of that, you say, "Well, you know, this is the cost, literally, of you not being willing to be a partner with me. So we can either work on this together on our own, you know, or we work on it together in counseling. Or you're going to pay for it because you're not being the man that I need you to be. What do you want to do?" Right? It gives you some leverage in a lot of different ways to begin to address this issue, because with things as they are, he's not going to listen to you, and he doesn't have to because you're not there during the day to follow up, right? So you can't even provide that kind of accountability. So this is definitely something that's going to need to be addressed by a professional. If you'd like to learn more, you can either seek local resources at marriagefriendlytherapists.com, or you can reach out to us at catholiccounselors.com. Maria, thank you so much for the call. We have to go to break, but we are continuing to take your calls about communication breakdowns today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from James chapter 1, verse 19.
"Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Wouldn't we love to just post this on the internet and keep it there forever? "Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." We jump into when we're trying to communicate something so quickly, telling people what we want them to hear right away, just speaking quickly, getting to an angry point if they don't hear us. But if we are quick to hear first, if we're listening, only then can we be receptive enough to know what our next steps should be.
So give us a call if you are struggling to communicate with someone you care about. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life will be back right after this.
Nestled under the warm Florida sun is a university whose name indicates a vocational call. Ave Maria, Latin for Hail Mary, recalls the angel Gabriel's announcement to Mary of her future vocation, becoming the Mother of God. Enriched by God's grace, Mary freely ascends to this call. This is the model for all students. Come to Ave Maria University, where you'll be empowered to clearly see your vocational call, whatever that call might be. Ave Maria University, your vocation location. Visit avemaria.edu.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today we're talking about communication, especially communication breakdowns. And if someone you love is not communicating well with you and you're not sure how to break through that, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Maria, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Mississippi.
Hi, Maria. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm having an issue with communicating with my ex-spouse. We were married for 14 years, and we have three children together, which are now 18, 15, and 13. We've been divorced for the last 5 years, and we've always had problems communicating. So we've agreed to only talk to each other through our email, through a co-parenting app. And so recently my ex-spouse has gotten married and has made it clear that now that he's married, I'm not part of the family. And he's no longer co-parenting with me, and he's making decisions that I don't agree with. And so the only thing I can think of now at this point is to bring in a court mediator to sit down and have him come to the table and discuss these matters without it deteriorating into, you know, an emotional.
Just curious,
mess.
Would that do any good, do you think?
That's why I'm asking you, is that I still want to co-parent with my kids. I still want to co-parent, but at this point, I feel that him totally shutting me out and alienating me from my kids, how do I get past that if he's not willing to communicate? And it seems like my only recourse is to bring a court mediator in.
Well, and there are also two different, there's something you threw in there that I'd like to tease out here, but let me ask you the practicalities first. Number one is, do you have custody of your children part-time, or does he have them all the time, where he's just able to influence everything and you're not even there?
Okay, so the oldest, the 18-year-old, did have residential custody for school. But he's off to college now, so he's kind of the outlier. But the other two, we both have joint custody,
okay.
But I'm the residential custody for school. So right now,
okay.
He has them for the summer.
Well, there's two different things there. There's what you can do practically through the law, and then there's the influence you have over your children. If you are with them, building that relationship with them is going to be vital.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's fine if you want to pursue that court mediation, you know, to try to force the issue with him. But I want you to not give away your power here because, you know, your ability to pass on your values and enforce your own rules with your kids is really dependent on your relationship with your kids. They can have whatever relationship they have with dad. You know, so for example, if your kids go to camp, you know, they may or may not follow your rules while they're at camp, you know. But when they're with you, they can. And that's really the most important thing. I realize, you know, their father isn't camp, but you get my point. It's, there are times when kids are in such other situations where they're not going to be doing exactly, you know, following the schedule we set for them or the expectations we have for them. But when they're with you, that's the most important thing. So building your relationship with them by creating rituals of connection around working and playing and talking and praying together every day. We talk about this in our, on our website, on Facebook at Catholic Home Family Discipleship, Catholic HOM, stands for Households on Mission. But taking, being able to work and play and talk and pray with them, even for 10 minutes each a day, so 40 minutes altogether, what you're doing is you're bringing them alongside of you and discipling them, showing them in your relationship and in the way, in the things you do together as a family, how to have Christian attitudes toward almost all the things that, that we do as human beings, work and play and talk and pray together. The more you're able to build that relationship and really create those, communicate those values, those ideas, those expectations through those activities around working and playing and talking and praying together, the stronger your influence is. But I see that you're taking this kind of one-down position with your ex, and as long as you do that, not only is he not going to follow or be a co-parent with you, but you're giving away your power and communicating to your kids that you can't be an effective mom unless your ex agrees with you, which he never will. So I by all means, go ahead and see what you can do to co-parent through the court like this. But the main thing is working on your own relationship with the kids. And I'd encourage you to pick up a copy of Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace at CatholicCounselors.com for more ideas on how to do that. God bless. Have a great day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.